From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, A Great Cloud of Witnesses, taking his text from the opening verses of chapter 12 of the Epistle to the Hebrews. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Dew of Heaven. The text is Deuteronomy 33 and verse 28. His heavens shall drop down dew. What the dew in the east is to the world of nature, that is the influence of the Spirit in the realm of grace. How greatly do I need it! Without the Spirit of God, I am a dry and withered thing. I droop, I fade, I die. How sweetly does this dew refresh me! When once favored with it, I feel happy, lively, vigorous, elevated. I want nothing more. The Holy Spirit brings me life and all that life requires. All else without the dew of the Spirit is less than nothing to me. I hear, I read, I pray, I sing. I go to the table of communion, and I find no blessing there until the Holy Ghost visits me. But when He bedews me, every means of grace is sweet and profitable. What a promise is this for me! His heavens shall drop down dew. I shall be visited with grace. I shall not be left to my natural drought, or to the world's burning heat, or to the sirocco of satanic temptation. Oh, that I may at this very hour feel the gentle, silent, saturating dew of the Lord! Why should I not? He who has made me to live as the grass lives in the meadow will treat me as he treats the grass. He will refresh me from above. Grass cannot call for dew as I do. Surely the Lord who visits the unpraying plant will answer to his pleading child.
Overwhelmed by his mercy, amazed by his grace, I am cleansed from all sin, every sign, every trace. Jesus left heaven's portals himself to abase. I'm overwhelmed by his mercy and his all-sufficient grace. God's everlasting mercy, oh what tender relief, when burdened with sorrow and laden with grief, when I think that on Calvary Christ died in my place, I'm overwhelmed by his mercy and his all-sufficient grace.
I will rest in his keeping each night and each day, for I know
His all-sufficient grace. Oh, spake of his mercy and his all-sufficient grace. God's everlasting mercy, oh, what tender relief, when burdened with sorrow and laden with grief, when I think that on Calvary Christ died in my place, I'm overwhelmed by his mercy and his
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edward's sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy.
Thank you.
Dr. Cairns has essentially finished his exposition of Hebrews chapter 11, the spirit of that passage actually carries over into chapter 12. We find here the imagery of a great sporting event, something like the Olympics, in which the saints in heaven are characterized as a great cloud of witnesses. The connotation is of a group who serve as spectators to a race and who are cheering for those who are running. From this text, in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we see that the believers are called to run a race for God. This is the nature of our calling. And the thought of those heavenly witnesses ought to inspire us to run our best so that we may obtain what Paul spoke of as the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Such a race involves considerable cost to the runner, for it demands the utmost exertion and commitment. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message called A Great Cloud of Witnesses.
Our course is a prescribed course. Prescribed simply means pre-written. It is a course that God has set. In other words, our times, our circumstances, our trials, our troubles, our pains, our aches, our sorrows, our bereavements are all in His hand. This prescribed course has a predetermined end. In other words, there is a goal, there is a finishing line. And to quote again the words of Philippians 3, we are called to forget the things that are past, to look forward to the things that are to come, and to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You'll see immediately that such a race requires all the concentration of all your energies. It requires a great and vigorous exertion, and it requires total commitment. You read Hebrews 11 again. Look at those men, starting from Abel, right the whole way through the Old Testament. Do you not see that with all their faults and failings, and they had them, yet there was a concentration of energy and of output for the one great thing that really mattered? That's the nature of our calling. Christianity is not a part-time job for any man of God. There's no such thing as a part-time Christian. We have got to the place of thinking that full-time service belongs to ministers and youth ministers and missionaries and people who are on the staff of a church. Yes, they have a full-time job, but so do you. It was Bob Jones Sr. who emphasized that ultimately to the Christian there should be no distinction between the secular and the sacred in employment. In other words, all we do must be consecrated to Jesus Christ. And in the daily round and the common task, we are to see opportunities to serve Christ. All our energy is to be given to the work of God and to the honor of the cause of Christ. So that whatever we do unto Him and for His glory. There's vigorous exertion here. It costs. It really costs if you are going to run with patience the race that is set before us. It's going to call for a clear purpose. You've got to get, I don't normally use this language because it's too easily misunderstood, but you have to get your priorities right in a race. That's the only thing that matters. When you think that today there are people who eat and sleep the coming 1992 Olympics in Barcelona. That's their common thought. They are working for that. They are, everything they eat, everything they do, every place they go, it's all with this in view. Now, if that is happening, and has been happening now for a long time, because there are young men and women who have a purpose to make it to an earthly team of sportsmen, How much more should God's people have a clear purpose in view? How much more should they make everything secondary to that purpose of running the race that Christ has set before us? At the end of the day, nothing else matters. I heard a very, very sad, actually a very troubling story. Something that happened just a few weeks ago of a man who should know better. I can only conclude that he's lost out with God, who has now said, "My goal in life." This is a man who for years has been in full-time service. Now, my goal in life is to be a millionaire, and I will make it. His advice to his son, setting out in life, was, "You have three things. You've got Christ as your Savior. Sounds good, but listen to the rest. Got your health, and go after money in a big way." The kindest thing I can say about the man is he's an idiot, if that's what he really believes. Everything should be secondary to the running of the race. And when you get to the finishing line, when the time that matters really comes, tell me, what else that you've ever done will be of importance? What else? How important will it be to a man to say, "Well, I made my millions, but my family go to hell"? Or, "I gain great success among men, but I brought dishonor to the name of Christ." Where's the gain in that? None whatsoever. You have to make everything else secondary to the purpose of the race. According to 2 Timothy 2 and 5, when you strive, you must strive lawfully. And it's true, if you're going to run, you run according to the rules. Our exertions, and this will come into sharper focus tonight when we study in the book of Judges the life story of Jephthah. Our exertions must be more than mere zeal. Our exertions must be regulated by the Word of God, and especially by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that zeal in itself is not a commendable thing. I forget who it was first said, it's been said by so many people since, that a fire in the grate is a wonderful servant, but outside of the grate, a fire is a destroyer. Regulated by the Word of God and according to the gospel, zeal can be harnessed to serve the cause of Christ, and it's a wonderful and a beautiful thing to see Christians who have zeal. My, I detest this half-hearted, dead, fly-in-the-ointment type of Christian that you get. I wonder why God's people are so lacking in zeal. I wonder how it is that we can sit back and just be so careless about the things of God. We can apparently take them or leave them. We can come or we can not come. any excuse is good enough to be unfaithful in the house of God, unfaithful in the place of prayer, unfaithful in our giving, unfaithful in our reaching out to souls. Anything does is an excuse for too many Christians. You wonder why Christians should have so little zeal. You stop to think that you'd be in hell today were it not for the grace of God. You ought to have zeal. When you stop to think that it took the blood of the Son of God incarnate to purchase your soul, you ought to have zeal. When you think that He has graven you upon the palms of His hands and He's upholding you at the throne of grace, and He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, I'll sustain you, I'll support you, I'll bless you, I'll lead you, I'll use you, I'll fill you. My, you ought to have grace to have zeal for God. Zeal, regulated by the Word of God, is a wonderful servant, but unregulated, just wildfire, will destroy both the man that has it and all that he touches. The big thing about this race is, of course, that it's getting nearer the end. It's progressive. Now, in a race, you vary speed. In athletics, this wouldn't worry you. I mean, in a mile race, though, mind you, nowadays are getting so good that they nearly run all four laps at the same speed. But in a mile race, they normally have some variation of speed. There's a testing out of the opposition. There's the point mid-race where the test is made somewhat more tough to see what the other fellows have. There's the sudden spurt to put distance between you and the field, and then there's the kick for holding. There's a varying speed, but it's always making progress. Always making progress. Christians get worried about this at times. You can't live your life at breakneck speed, but you can live your life constantly making progress. And the varying speed of a Christian's life is going to be determined by many things. Speed varies. A runner may be running into the wind. He may be running with a tailwind. He may be running in traffic. He may be running in the open space. That's the way it is in a Christian's life. There are times, even in the teeth of the gale of opposition and temptation, there are times when, as happens to a runner, I don't know how they do it, when they run through the pain, sometimes with fractured bones, sometimes with other physical disabilities that happen during the race, there are times when in the Christian's life there are hindrances like that. But with your eye upon Christ and your heart set upon the goal, you must run, you must keep going forward. It is never right for a Christian to stop. Do you understand that? It's never right for a Christian to turn back. It's never right for a Christian, even for a time, to seek to drop out. We are called to run and make progress. And keep on keeping on, and keep on going on. That requires running with patience. The word patience, actually, I think here, has the idea of perseverance. It's sticking it out. Now, how do you stick it out? Well, the second thing these people do is they remind us that this race must be run by faith.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.